Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crimehouse Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We should be hearing from Taylor Davis. SEC State of Mind does a great job with Believe, and then also on the sidelines for college football games throughout the season on to ESPN. But when you take a glance around the college football coaching carousel, it's just been absolutely mayhem. And all these jobs keep on getting filled, even Brian Hartline today to USF. We do find out that Jeff Brohm's going to be staying at Louisville. We know that the Lane Kiffin domino fell. He went to LSU. John Sumrall goes to Florida. Auburn hires Alex Golish. Ryan Silverfield goes to Arkansas. Mark Stoops, they say goodbye to him at Kentucky. And then Will Stein is the next head coach with the Wildcats. But Penn State remains. And we're sitting here waiting to see what the Nittany Lions are going to do. We thought it was going to be Kalani Sitake. Now I think it's going to be Brian Daboll. So now joining us, SEC State of Mind on Believe. Also does a great job on the sidelines for ESPN. She is Taylor Davis. Taylor, how are you?
I am doing well, Zach. I'm so happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on. So let me start you off with Lane Kiffin. I was on the air on Sunday morning, and we were just waiting for the news to happen. Then I see Ole Miss fans giving him the middle finger at the airport. The next thing you know, he's channeling his inner Ed Orgeron and saying, go Tigers. So when we take a glance at one Lane Kiffin, just everything that happened last week, how do you kind of put it into words?
Well, it was much better than family. Yeah. So I think it was a step in the right direction. I love the contrast of the realities, him leaving the tarmac in Oxford with everyone's middle fingers in the air and then being received in Baton Rouge like the Queen of England. I mean, the juxtaposition of the two realities really paint the picture. And that's college football in a nutshell. But you're right. That domino had to fall for all of the rest to take shape. We all knew that that was going to be the case. So I separate the two. I have been saying that all week. I think that the reality of the situation, Lane Kiffin being the head coach of LSU, is its own entity. And honestly, it makes a lot of sense. It's what I've expected through all of this was going to be the result. And I think he'll be successful in Baton Rouge. The way in which we got there was messy and ugly and dramatic and so on brand for Lane Kiffin. I mean, the old adage of how you get them is how you lose them kind of was embodied in this situation. It definitely didn't happen in the cleanest of ways, maybe the most considerate of ways, and a lot of people feel slighted in the process. But ultimately, I think it was an offer he couldn't refuse. It's a program and a culture and a tradition that fit him, and LSU made no mistake in what their intention was doing. They were very clear in that back when they fired Brian Kelly, what their plan of attack was, what their intention was, because they felt like he was the right guy and they did everything they could to get him. But it was definitely on brand, we'll say that.
Yeah, I watch a lot of reality TV. Like, I'm all involved in the Real Housewives of New Jersey, you know, the Jersey Shore,
yeah,
all that stuff. And I felt as if I was watching a reality TV show. But I'll give credit to Ole Miss in this. They were losing Lane Kiffin. But they did it on their terms, even though they were getting played. They said, you're not coaching this team for the playoff. We're not letting you do that. You want to go, go. And then they hire from within. and you kind of keep that team together. It was a crappy situation, but I thought Ole Miss did as good of a job as they can. And also, it was actually nice last night that the College Football Playoff Committee, they didn't punish Ole Miss. They actually elevated Ole Miss.
I completely agree with you, because I think that was everyone's question mark, right? Like, how much of that is going to impact their postseason opportunities, and where does the committee view them in terms of impact without Lane Kiffin? And that was a piece of this that I really hated. I mean, I felt certain weeks ago that this was going to be the result. And if Lane Kiffin at all did, not allowing for there to be more of a transition period for Pete Golding to take into account the in-game operation element of this thing. Their first shot at it is going to be a playoff game. Like, that piece of it to me is a little lackluster in terms of consideration, but I agree with you. And I think there has been a lot of debate around it, because a lot of people can look at it from a 30,000 foot view and go, okay, Ole Miss, you don't have a title to your program, and this is probably the closest opportunity you're going to have to one. The team is built for it. Are you cutting your nose off to spite your face a little bit? Like, it not letting him coach, you're robbing your program of a title. It's not just that he's leaving Ole Miss, that they won't let him coach it. It's who he's leaving for. You guys, he is leaving for your neighbor three doors down that you've always suspected your husband had a thing for, and they finally decide to be together. You know what I mean? Like, that's why he can no longer stay in-house, and they had to put their foot down. I felt like they were done being toyed around, and they kind of felt like, okay, if you view us as the lower option, we're not going to put another feather in your cap and let you potentially get a title on our name when you're headed somewhere else in a couple months. So it was the decision that they had to make, and it maintained their pride in this, which I think is right by them. And by keeping with Pete Golding, I think they knew the locker room was going to be intact, the culture was going to be intact, and onward they go, whether it has a little bit of spite in it or not.
Yeah, the analogy I use, like, let's say if you were dating my producer, Nico, and then Nico broke up with you, and Nico then started dating your sister and said, I'm coming over for Thanksgiving dinner. You're saying, hell no, you're not coming over to our Thanksgiving dinner.
You're dead to me, Nico. Get the heck out of here. Get out of my house.
All righty, Taylor Davis here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, SEC State of Mind with Believe Network, and also the ESPN on the sidelines. I know you're an Auburn person. I know you do the podcast with Jason Campbell. We talked about this last time. You wanted John Sumrall. It looked like John Sumrall was going to Auburn. Lane Kiffin says no to Florida. Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss, goes to LSU. And the next thing you know, John Sumrall is in the swamp. Do you feel betrayed by John Sumrall, or do you kind of understand it?
You know, I felt a little bit slighted by the entire process. I don't know that I would specify John Sumrall, because I think, honestly, if I evaluate all of these coaching searches, I wouldn't give any of them an A+. I think there were flaws and messiness and drama and lack of consistency for all of them. I mean, Alex Golish was very far along in the process with Arkansas, and they got messy and he stepped back. So none of it was executed perfectly. And for whatever reason, there's a lot of rumors out there, something went south with the Sumrall-Auburn partnership in the 11th hour, which is unfortunate, and you never want to see that, because that's when all the loose ends should get tied up and put away, and instead it's when things went completely sideways. So I don't love that, but I will say, through all of the madness and chaos and maybe even lack of refinement, I fully believe Auburn got the right guy. So it kind of blows my mind. And a big piece of that for me, Zach, is the partnership of Alex Golish and DJ Durkin. For me, that made this thing a home run. I really like Alex Golish. I've covered him several times. I think very highly of him. But the partnership, even if Sumrall had retained Durkin, that was always going to be a bit of a challenging balance to find, because they're both defensive guys and they've both built their own philosophy around it. And I think their approach, maybe you don't know that friction is not going to come up when you've got two guys like that. But Alex Golish is so offensive minded, CEO minded, and there's really a lack of ego associated with this. He came in and recognized the value that DJ Durkin has and says, hey, I want to walk alongside you in this. Like, let's do this together. And I don't know for sure what that would have looked like with two defensive-minded guys. So for me, when all the dust settled, this did end up being the right situation for Auburn. And I think Alex Golish is going to do a great job there. It's already been very well received, even at a time where you kind of felt like Auburn slipped a little bit. Luckily, I think you slipped into a really good option, and everyone around the Plains is feeling incredibly optimistic.
Here's the other thing. Like, if you would just ask me, would I rather be the coach at Florida or Kentucky? I would say I'd rather be the coach at Florida. But Sumrall played for Kentucky, right? He's a Kentucky guy. I thought Kentucky waited a little bit too long to get rid of Stoops. I get it. It's challenging because the guy was a great coach for them. It was just time to move on. They end up getting Will Stein. But do you think if Kentucky opened earlier, they would have been able to convince John Sumrall to go home?
That's a great question. That's a great question, because I've really only thought like, oh, Kentucky, you were too late to the party. But it's a great point. Would he have actually taken it over Florida? I tend to lean no. I really do kind of believe that he sees Florida as the bigger opportunity, as much as I'm sure there's a lot of love there for, you know, where he played ball. And he actually began his coaching career there because he had an injury that ended his playing career. And they immediately called him and were like, hey, come coach and cut your teeth this way. And he did. But I think if both opportunities were presented, and look, I think Florida was throwing a lot at him that I'm not sure Kentucky would have been able to match. So I think that also probably would have paid a factor. And I think he probably still would have ended up in Gainesville. That's my educated guess.
All right, get into Arkansas. So you pointed out how they thought they were going to get Alex Golish, right? His wife is from there, and that kind of leaked out. And then they end up getting Ryan Silverfield. I don't know how much of a difference there is between Alex Golish and Ryan Silverfield. Just how Auburn fans could be irate that they didn't get John Sumrall. Hey, I like Sumrall, but how much of a difference really is there between Sumrall and Golish? All these guys coming from the G5. Arkansas fans that I irate about Ryan Silverfield, I'm not saying it's going to be a home run hire, but I just don't get how you could be irate about it.
I don't either. Here's my issue with Arkansas. It actually has nothing to do with who you get as head coach. I think there is a perception problem. I think there is a backing problem. I think Arkansas has made it very obvious that they have put way more into basketball and baseball in the years, and football has slid in prioritization. And in the SEC, and specifically a program like Arkansas, that doesn't fly. Like, that fan base wants football to contend. And when you've got an athletic director that has taken some heat this season and not always presented himself the way that you want him to, and even made comments about, we're built to win championships in basketball, we're built to win championships in baseball, but we're not built to win championships in football, as if that's okay. Like, it's a consolation of being good in basketball and baseball. It doesn't sit well with a fan base. So I'm less concerned about Ryan Silverfield and more just concerned with Arkansas as a whole. And so I think he's going to have to push more than Golish and Sumrall are to get everything that he wants. And he's made a splash quickly. He flipped 3 in-state targets on day one. So I have covered all 3 of these guys in the American, which is really interesting that they're all now going to be in their SEC opportunities the same year, and they're all going to play each other, which is wild. I would say that Golish and Sumrall are more similar than Silverfield and any of them. Not a slight to any of them, but just personality wise a little different. What I know about Silverfield is how hard he rides for his players. Not saying the other two don't, but Ryan Silverfield will do what's best for the players, even if it's not the quote popular thing. I've interviewed him, and you ask him about a certain player and it'll hit him in the heart. You can see the emotions start to come, which I know is going to make things start building in the right direction. So I think he's really going to do a lot with relationships and continuing to increase that perception. But I do think he's going to have to push a little bit more, and it's not anything he isn't used to. I mean, Memphis was one of the highest NIL retaining schools in the American because they had the FedEx money that he was making good use of. And so you need to be calling Walmart. You need to be calling Tyson. And I don't think that he'll hesitate to do it to get Arkansas football back on the level that Fayetteville expects it to be.
So Taylor Davis here with us for a few more moments. Obviously, SEC State of Mind and Believe and does a great job on the sidelines for ESPN in the college football season. When we get to the college football playoff, Alabama getting moved past Notre Dame last night, I thought it was the right thing. I never thought they should have fallen behind Notre Dame. Yeah. Alabama's in the playoff even if they lose the SEC championship game. Do you think that's safe to say?
I think Alabama is in if they lose close. I think the way in which they lose will be relevant. The thing about the Iron Bowl, I think you saw Alabama is not at their strength right now. And obviously you've got Quavis who's injured. Jim Miller is questionable. He left the Iron Bowl on crutches. Ryan Williams was not a factor. It's not reported that he's dealing with an injury, but I don't know what's going on with that. Ty Simpson took a ton of hits and was already limping a little bit. So I'm not buying that Alabama is at their best right now. And I know a lot of people say, well, it is the full body of work. That is true. But Mike Norvell in Florida State would argue with you that you lose an impact guy like Jordan Travis and you're being left out. So we know the committee does take into account what you're putting out there right now. And I think it changes every year what they're putting more value into. But if Alabama, who barely got out of Jordan Hare, a lot of people did that this year, I got to say, I mean, those one possession games we all know are haunting Auburn this year, but they barely escaped the Iron Bowl with a victory. They lost to Oklahoma. They're not looking full strength. If they go into Atlanta and get absolutely dominated, you've got too many other teams with compelling resumes that honestly have an argument. I think that there's so much controversy right now around the group of five bids and if you are actually getting the 12 best teams by insisting on that. And also, if an ACC champion is warranted to be in this year, given the weaknesses that that conference has showcased. Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, it will be such a disservice. And it is crazy that I'm saying that because it could be an argument. But I think it will be such a disservice if we do set the precedent that we have tried to avoid for years that you will be penalized for playing an extra game. And because Texas A&M and Ole Miss are sitting at home, not having to play this game, able to get healthy and are automatically in, Alabama and Georgia go play for a championship title and one of them messes around, one of them has a star get injured and they're out. Like, I know the committee doesn't want to do that, but it's up to Alabama to make sure that they don't have to. And so Alabama, they need to win. That would make it more obvious. But if they lose, I'm under the belief that they got to lose close.
If they lose and they get held out of the playoff, I think Commissioner Sankey is going to try to implement a 16-team playoff before the start of this playoff this year. Like that will definitely happen, that they will be 16 teams. You know, I don't know if it happens by next year, but if they keep out Alabama, who's the runner-up in the SEC?
I mean, I think Diego Pavia might be on the front lawn of the White House trying to do the same thing right now, so they can team up.
So, you know, you look at a school like Vanderbilt, do they have a case to be made? Two losses and no one's given them any consideration.
I do. I've been saying it all day to anyone that asks. I think Vanderbilt's done enough to be in. I do. And I know that you look at it and you say Texas has the head-to-head, but Texas lost to Florida. That's where it ends for me. And I hate that for Sark and for Archie, who's definitely been playing better as of late. But you are what your record is. And having those three losses, even though you do have the head-to-head over Vanderbilt, Vandy's losses are close to Alabama, close to Texas, both on the road. They took care of Tennessee very convincingly these past couple of weeks in Knoxville. You were gut checked against Auburn down to the wire like everyone is. You took care of that. You pummeled Kentucky. I mean, like, I just think they've shown enough, and it is going to be a very close argument, but it's why that Alabama loss in the championship is also going to be such an anomaly for them to figure out, because you've got all of these teams with really compelling arguments. And it's I actually did the mock CFP selection process. They invite a few members of the media every year to go out and sit in the conference room and do the whole process. And I've done it. And I don't envy what they're up against this year. I just hope that they have been paying very close attention for a long time now, because you've got far too many teams with damn near similar arguments that we're all going to be talking about this time next week.
And what I learned maybe from last night is that, okay, if Virginia wins, I think they get in. But if Virginia loses and let's say Duke wins, it looks like we could have James Madison in and then whoever wins the American, which no one would have ever, like last year we thought it was a big deal that Boise State got a bye. This year, two G5 schools getting on in. And I like the smaller schools. Heck, I went to Temple, but that's to me is something I would have never believed if you told me that before the start of the season. But with all that being said, and you look at what we're in right now, I wonder if the format moving into the future is going to change, where we aren't getting the 12 best teams. We're getting the 12 teams that are in this format that the last few years, there's like three of them that aren't even in the top 12 in the ranking. So I wonder if they look at that moving forward in the future.
You'd think they'd have to. I mean, I think that this year in particular is sending them back to the drawing board on so many things. The playoff, the committee, how that structure, who's on the committee, I think is kind of still being discussed a little bit. The calendar, I mean, as we know with all of this coaching BS, the calendar played such a role in it. Early signing day being today when we've got conference championships this weekend. It's just, there's a lot of things. It's a mess. And there's a lot of things that they need to go back to the drawing board on. But I agree. I think that the playoff structure right now isn't guaranteeing the best 12 teams being in, and that's ultimately what it's supposed to be. But as soon as we expand it to 16, there's going to be an argument to expand it to 20. And so at what point do you stop the madness, right?
16 is the max for me. I don't love 16, but it's the anything more than 16, it becomes a joke. Like, what are we gonna do? We're gonna be the NBA with these play-in tournaments and all that? Like, enough.
Yes. And you also are going to have to scale back on regular season because we can't be playing into March, though I would love it. It absolutely
player
ain't
safety,
gonna happen.
Right? Doesn't player safety matter at all?
Yes. Health and all of those things, which you also claim is a qualification to get you in, that you're kind of at full strength. So it's all kind of a mess. But I do agree with you. I think that there's a very real possibility that you see two group of five teams in there and no ACC team just because of the way that that has structured, though they're trying really hard to give Miami a look, which I just cannot get on board with.
Well, one last thing that I'll ask you on that. If, let's just say, BYU beats Texas Tech, BYU is out. If it does come down to Notre Dame and Miami, do you think they should go Notre Dame over Miami?
I do.
Even with the head-to-head and the metrics are all the same?
I know. And that's so not a popular thing. Miami people don't come for me. I'm sorry. Now, I will say, what they presented against Pitt last week, like they did what they needed to do. And if you're talking campaign, they've put it out there. But and I see the argument against Notre Dame, too, because other than Texas A&M, who have you played and really what's been your test? But for Miami to have had the record that they have when we're sitting here saying that the champion of your conference doesn't deserve to be here, but you do, and you had a worse record to not even be in the championship game. Like, I can't get on board with that.
One last thing I'll ask you. If Kalen DeBoer doesn't make the playoffs, is he out at Alabama, and does Pat Kraft maybe get a gift to Penn State?
That is funny that you ask. I brought it up a few weeks ago because I had a sneaky suspicion. Is that why Lane Kiffin is dragging his feet a little bit? Does he just want to know if Tuscaloosa is going to be an opportunity for him? And I know a lot of people will say he will never go back to Tuscaloosa, and I hear that. But look, Lane was sitting here going, everyone and their brother wants me to coach their team right now, so let's just make sure we've got all options. And I think that the Kalen DeBoer Alabama fit and marriage, I'm not sure is the happiest on either side. I don't know that they really feel like he's the right fit. I don't know if he feels like he's the right fit there. So it's not an impossibility that you ultimately see him at Penn State. I do think the further they go in a playoff bid silences that pretty quickly, but it's been on my radar for sure, and I don't think it's the craziest thought.
Could you imagine if Kalen DeBoer goes to Penn State?
Because
Lane Kiffin may say, is the ink even dry on the contract? I'm going to Tuscaloosa. I think he'd bail.
The chaos. Can you imagine, Zach? As soon as we all think, like, okay, everyone put up your tree, breathe a little bit. Marty Smith, take a nap. Like, everyone just chill for a second. And then, boom, Lane's like, ha-ha, suckas, I'm going to T-Town.
That would be something. That would be wild. I mean, they may need to pull Nick Saban out of retirement just for a year. Just for a year,
just
and then you do the search
because
a year later.
I mean, Alabama ends up late to this party, and everyone is snatched up. I can't even imagine the absolute chaos that would ensue. Someone call Andy Cohen, get cameras up immediately. Bravo needs to partner with college
football. Yeah, Taylor Davis, thanks so much. We appreciate the time as always.
Thank you for having me.
Yep, there you go. Taylor Davis, great stuff always when she joins us. We'll take a break. When we come on back, could Mike Tomlin be the next head coach at Penn State? I don't think so, but a Steelers legend is suggesting it. We'll tell you who that is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listeners, get to ask us a question brought to you by Riley Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsEd or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go to Larry in Naples, Florida. Next up on the Zach Gelb Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Larry, good afternoon. How are you?
Zach, I'm good. A couple of things on college football. First of all, I called Hickey a couple of weeks ago after he really got into Lincoln Riley at USC. I've been a USC fan since the O.J. Simpson days, so I had to respond to that. And now we just were awarded the number one recruiting class in the country. And everybody out there loves Lincoln Riley. And when you had that guy on a couple of Sundays ago saying that he was going to be the Florida coach, I tried to call you right away. And I said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. This guy has a mansion that they built him on Malibu Beach. There's no way he's going to go live in a swamp in the suburb of Jacksonville. There's no way he's going to Florida. And plus the money he sent that they pay him, there's no way he's going to Florida. So I try to call you that Sunday. That's number one. And number two is there will be a 16-team tournament next year because the SEC has to play a ninth game next year. So half their teams are going to have 3 and 4 losses next year. So if they only had 12 teams, they'd only get 2, maybe 3 teams in. And you know Sankey wants 5 or 6. So if they're going to lose 3 or 4 games playing 9 division games, I mean, they would have all half their teams would have had an extra loss this year if they would have played non-division games.
They moved the deadline. The deadline for expansion for next year is now January 23rd of 2026. So, yeah, they'll probably find a way. You got to get all the athletic directors on the same page, and we know that becomes a you-know-what showing contest between the Big Ten and the SEC. So we'll see if it's going to happen. Here's what I've always said, though, about Lincoln Riley. I think the guy's a good coach. I think he's a very good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. He had those Oklahoma teams for years where he dominated the Big 12, had all those Heisman Trophy winners, was in the Big 12 championship game. It would always win the Big 12, always in the playoff, and never won a playoff game. Then he had Caleb Williams at USC for 2 years, never made the postseason, never won the Pac-12. Now he's in a tougher conference. He had a good season this year, a very good season this year, better than what I would have thought. But is he just going to be good, or can he be great? Like, can he beat Ohio State? Can he go on out there and even beat Cignetti with Indiana? I think it's up for debate.
Zach, I've been a fan for 60 years. We've had 3 really good coaches in 60 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trust me, I grew up watching USC with Lionel and Reggie Bush, but
you're
not them.
We've had.
You think he's better than Pete Carroll?
No.
Okay.
And I don't think he's better than John McKay, and I don't think he's better than John Robinson. But he's better than everybody else that we had, even Larry Smith. We've had 9 coaches in the 60 years that I've been a fan. He's better than the rest.
Is he going to be able to bring the standard back? And appreciate the passion, the phone call, as always, Larry. But is he going to be able, with how ugly it's gotten in the last decade, there's one thing in just making you better. Can you bring the standard back to where it was in, let's say, the early 2000s? And at USC right now, I don't think that's happening. I don't. Like, is he ever going to win a Big Ten champ? Like, Dan Lanning walked into the Big Ten right away. Say what you want. Dan Lanning, you know, didn't win a playoff game last year, walked in the Big Ten right away, won a Big Ten championship. Is Lincoln Riley going to be able to do that? And they showed they could be physical this year. They showed they could be tough this year. They've had signs of encouragement. But are you going to be able to sustain that at USC? It's just a question. It's a top 20 program of all time. It's a legendary program. I get it. But just look at their schedule next year. Right? They play Fresno State. Then they're at Indiana. Then they're at Penn State. We'll see who's even coaching that team. They play Rutgers, UCLA, whatever, whatever, Maryland. They have Ohio State on the schedule. They have Oregon on the schedule. You got Notre Dame on the schedule. You got Washington on the schedule. Forget about Wisconsin. But are they going to be able to be two losses or fewer? And if it goes to 16, then it's three losses or fewer. But will they be able to win a national championship with Lincoln Riley? Can Lincoln Riley even win a national championship? Because in a 14 playoff, when he basically had an invite in there each and every year by winning the Big 12, guy never won a playoff game. All righty, real quickly, let me play you this audio. So Ben Roethlisberger hosts his podcast, the Footballin' Podcast with Ben Roethlisberger. And he has already started to chime in on a Mike Tomlin departure from the Steel City. And he even has a suggestion for the next job for one Mike Tomlin.
Maybe it's time. Maybe it's a clean house time. Maybe it is. Maybe it's time. And I like Coach Tomlin. I have a lot of respect for Coach Tomlin. Maybe it's best for him too.
Sure.
Maybe a fresh start for him is what's best. Whether that's in the pros, maybe go be Penn State's head coach. You know what he would do in Penn State? He'd Dude. Probably go win national championships.
Because
he's a great recruiter.
I could tell you right now, if Mike Tomlin in the next decade is coaching in college, I would be shocked. I'm not going to say he's never coaching in college. But remember a few years ago when USC was open and there was a reporter that walked into the media room and asked him about potentially being the next coach of USC? It was the most irate, agitated, and annoyed I've ever seen Mike Tomlin. And he goes, oh, like, does Andy Reid get asked that question? Does Bill Belichick get asked that question? Like, he was pissed, really pissed. So I don't think Mike Tomlin would be leaving the Steelers to go to Penn State. I could see him leaving the Steelers and being the next head football coach of the Dolphins. I could see him leaving the Steelers and being the next head football coach of the Tennessee Titans. I could see him leaving the Steelers and being the next head football coach of the New York Giants. He'll get another job in the NFL. But what you're starting to hear is momentum build for Mike Tomlin to be out in Pittsburgh. And I get it, right? Noel, Cowher, Tomlin, Rooney family doesn't make changes. It seems a little bit different, at least in this week. You know, you just had Ben Roethlisberger, a two-time Super Bowl champion, eventual Hall of Famer, coming on out there and saying it feels like it's time to clean house in Pittsburgh. Think about that. Like, I forget what it was about, but I had Mean Joe Green on the show years ago, and he talked about something going wrong in Pittsburgh, and it was everywhere. Because, like, that's the voice of the Steelers, right? Mean Joe Green, like, his word means so much. And Big Ben's word means a lot now. Got a guy that's not that far removed. Tomlin was his coach. Right? How many of these Steelers have, and I love these guys, like Brian McFadden's a friend. We've had him on the show. And he has laughed at the notion that the Steelers would move off of Mike Tomlin. Like, the former players usually defend Tomlin. And I know Big Ben likes Tomlin, but we're at a point, it's been since the 2016 season. That was the last time the Steelers won a playoff game. And I said going into the season, I give him two more years. And I would say you either have to win a playoff game in the next 2 years, even though you have three more years left in your contract, or find the franchise quarterback. If you can't do that in 2 years, you're out. Well, they may not make the playoffs this year. And if they make the playoffs this year, does anyone think that this team's winning the playoff game? I don't. It does feel like the time is right to move off of Mike Tomlin. And don't sit here and tell me, oh, the Steelers can't do so. And I get so many people in the media that are holding their nose 10 feet up in the air. Oh, you can't fire Mike Tomlin. He'll get a job tomorrow. Did the Eagles fire Andy Reid? Yeah, they did. Now, I understand they hired Chip Kelly. It didn't work. But after that, they got Doug Peterson, won a Super Bowl. After that, they got Nick Sirianni, won a Super Bowl. Did the Patriots get rid of Bill Belichick? Yes. They hired Gerard Mayo right away. It didn't work. They get Mike Vrabel in there yet. Now the Patriots are 11-2. This idea that the Eagles can move off of Andy Reid and the Patriots can move off of Bill Belichick, but the Steelers can't move off of Mike Tomlin? It's a bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch of hogwash. You're not coaching the Lions. You're not coaching the Browns. You're not coaching the Jets. You're not coaching the Raiders. Right? You're coaching the Steelers that have the six championships. That's the most championships, tied for the most championships of all time. And you haven't won a playoff game in a decade. That's not acceptable. The standard in Pittsburgh is to win a Super Bowl. Now it's, oh, can you maybe win a playoff game? And you haven't done so in 10 years. So, yeah, I think it's time for Tomlin to go and you reset. And I saw Marcus Freeman was doing an interview today. And they asked about, like, oh, maybe coaching the Giants. It was in New York. Marcus Freeman to the Steelers is something that makes a ton of sense to me. Get rid of Tomlin next year or two. You bring in Marcus Freeman if he wants to coach in the NFL. I could see that in a second. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get to a news brief next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We will get to a news brief momentarily. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let me go to Chris in Birmingham, Alabama, next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Chris, what's happening, my man?
What's happening, Zach Gelb? You need to be drug tested, sir. And you need,
I do?
Check to see what you've been drinking, man, because today you have been on fire. Have you been taking drugs or something? What? You're a ref. I've never seen you this good.
Tell me another day that ends in Y. We just call this a regular Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show. Chris, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about from the Penn State to calling out Pat Ball for being a soft, being a doggone Charmin soft trigger emoji, the modern day football aspect commentating, and the part of being jumping from the get go at this point.
Yeah,
but then you put on the Auburn alum and kind of people start sobering up and kind of get dull. But until then, you've been eating, because if you stop and look at the Penn State recruiting aspect today, guess where they're ranked, Zach Gelb?
Oh, it's like 129 or something like that?
150th.
Yeah, but Jesus, here's the thing. You announce a coach, the transfer portal, you build that thing back up real quickly. And also, you know what's crazy? And this is going to be weird coming from me, but I just want to double check this here. The Penn State schedule this year, this upcoming year, it's Marshall, Temple, go Owls, Bills, Maryland, Michigan, Northwestern, Minnesota, Purdue, Rutgers, USC, Wisconsin, and Washington. You know that schedule would have been pretty good for James Franklin, who can't really win a big game. And I thought it was fine to get rid of James Franklin. But this coach who comes in, I don't know what his roster is going to be like, but you look at that schedule, they go win a lot of games and they could save face here for Penn State, but they got to hire a coach now. Chris, appreciate the kind words of the phone call. Unless if they're getting Kalen DeBoer, which I am being 1,000% honest. I've heard it from Hickey. I heard it from my buddy Barry, who's a Penn State guy. You know, all these Penn State sycophants, they sit there, they go, Kalen DeBoer. Yeah, if Kalen DeBoer wasn't making the playoff, you may have a case. But I just don't see how Alabama gets blown out by Georgia this weekend and they miss them out of the college football playoff. If they lose respectably, they're going to be in. And you're not leaving Alabama when you're in the playoff for Penn State. I personally just don't see it. I don't. But if they end up getting Kalen DeBoer, hats off, it'd be a sensational hire for Penn State. I just don't see it. I think it's going to be Daboll. I do. If it's not Daboll, maybe Manny Diaz or someone that's sitting on NFL coaching staff right now that has ties to someone in the university. All righty, let's update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief right now.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time for
for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, we heard from Ben Roethlisberger about the future of Mike Tomlin, saying maybe it's time to move on. Let's go to James Harrison. He was on his show, Debo and Joe, and he calls out the Steelers coaching staff.
I have never been a person that thought Coach Tomlin was a great coach. I thought he was a good coach, okay? A good coach gets you to play to your potential. And right now, the players we have on that team, they're not playing up to their potential. And a great coach gets you to play beyond your potential. You tell me where there's a good coach on this staff, because right now, I don't see anybody playing to their potential. Mike Tomlin is in control of hiring coaches, and he may not be the one coaching the position, but he is in position to hire the coaches to get the potential out of our players. And right now, he has not put coaches in the position that can get the potential out of what it is that we have.
I'll tell you, I would never want to annoy James Harrison. Like, that dude sounds scary. I met James Harrison this past year at the Super Bowl. I was out for dinner with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, and James Harrison came over to the table. That is one intimidating dude. That is what, I don't care how drunk you are, if you're stupid enough to try to pick a fight with that guy, you're an idiot. But with that being said, think about this. In the last 24 hours, James Harrison has turned on Mike Tomlin. Big Ben has turned on Mike Tomlin. Like, what's next? Polamalu? Heinz Ward? Who else is coming out of the woodworks? But it's showing you that these Steelers players that won championships are fed up. And their coach hasn't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. A lot of momentum brewing about Tomlin and him getting another job somewhere else this offseason. Let's go to Bruce Arians, who coached under Mike Tomlin. Hey, Bruce Arians, is Mike Tomlin on the hot seat? This courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show.
Yeah, I think it's a lot hotter. I mean, I would not want to be either one of the coordinators, because you're not coming back next year, for sure.
For sure.
that's going to happen. It's always happened. So it's like, will Art pull the trigger, which I doubt very seriously. If I were Mike, I would want to get out and go somewhere new. Start over.
Bruce Arians, also on the Pat McAfee Show, why it feels like Tomlin needs to move on.
For you, what did you experience whenever you go to a new place?
Yeah, it's such an easier giving that message. You know, some players get tired of the message, and you have to keep it fresh. Mike's done a great job of keeping it fresh for years. I'm shocked watching their defense play. I'm just totally shocked, because talent's not the issue. They got talent. And it's just amazing to me to watch the Steelers play right now. It's almost like they don't have Steeler pride. And when you get booed on Renegade, bro, that's something wrong.
But that's a big
deal. Something's wrong. That's shocked me.
Yeah, they hate them. They hate everything about it.
So the Cleveland Browns are opening the window for Deshaun Watson to come off the injured list, and they'll have 21 days to actually activate him. Here is Kevin Stefanski activating Deshaun Watson.
We're going to activate Deshaun's practice window, so he'll be out there today, which is outstanding for Deshaun. He's been working so hard, rehabbing, so finally to get out there on the practice field with his teammates, go through individual, I think is really great for him. So excited for him. His focus, my focus, is obviously getting him back to playing football, practicing football, which he hasn't done in over a year. So it's a good next step for him. But our focus, obviously, continues to remain on the Tennessee Titans.
The desire of the organization to see him on the playing field, if possible.
Yeah, really not my focus. Not his focus right this minute. His focus is putting a helmet on again for the first time, shoulder pads, throwing a football. That's where the focus is, Tony.
You're told when he might be ready to play?
Really not the focus for me, for him, for us. Our focus is activating this practice window, seeing him on the practice field. He's worked really, really hard. He's been so supportive in the meeting room, on the game field with the players. Now he gets to go do that on the practice field as well.
So they have to activate him within 21 days. If they don't, then he's done for the season. They got 5 games left, so he's not going to start this week. He's not going to play this week up against Tennessee. Then they have the Bears, the Bills, the Steelers, and the Bengals. Let's skip around the room here. Nico, do you think Deshaun Watson plays a game this year for the Cleveland Browns?
I'd be very shocked if he did.
Samter?
I don't think this year, but I think the fact that they're keeping him in the loop, it doesn't say good things for Shador or Dylan Gabriel for next year.
I think they're drafting a quarterback. I do.
Man, you have two second-year quarterbacks that you just drafted.
Third and plus fifth pick, though.
Plus Deshaun Watson, who's on a guaranteed contract.
He sucks, though. That dude is so washed. His body is broken down. Even the last few years, when even he's on the field, he's not been a good quarterback.
But they're settled with that contract.
Yeah, but it's wasted money at this point. I actually think that you're going to see Watson for at least one game. I do. I think you'll see Deshaun Watson for one game. And it, to your point, Samter, and to Nico, it means they don't like Dylan Gabriel. They don't like Shedeur Sanders. I haven't heard this yet. Andy Reid had a little slip up at the podium. It says on my sheet, Andy Reid had an odd choice of words. All right, let's go.
I'm telling you, we're going to go after you every game. And, you know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play, every game. But that's the attitude that we're coming in with.
Tickle your tonsils?
Yeah, tickle your tonsils is typically a phrase you would hear in other kinds of movies that might not be safe for work.
I'm going to tickle your tonsils? That's where Andy Reid is going?
Yeah, tickling your tonsils is not, I don't think, the phrase he was looking for.
All right, sir.
I don't know what's worse, that or Jerry Jones's glory hole. I just think they understand different meanings of those phrases.
I think the glory hole term by Jerry was a little bit more directed in your face. All right? That's what I'm going to say on that one. Hey, this is Zach Gelb's show on the Infinity Sports Network. Pun intended, by the way, on that one. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, no pun intended. No, there was pun intended on that. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. We're going to do a Take 5 Wednesday. I'll give you my top five teams in college football and the NFL. And the king is back. That's all I'm going to say for Take 5 Wednesday. The king is sitting back on its throne atop maybe either college football or the NFL. Samter, I don't want to hear what you're going to have to say. I see you have your finger on the microphone. Don't want to hear what you're going to have to say, because it could be something mean. It's going to be something I don't like. So I don't want to hear it from you down in Loserville when it comes to football. Zach Gelb Show. We're in Winterville. We're coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.